Church family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus, but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or visit the Welcome Center out in the lobby.
Hey guys, I'm Jesse. I usually can be found out here at the welcome desk or in the lobby or with the greeters. That's where I serve. And I wanted to tell you about something exciting that we have new here at the church that is an opportunity for you to get involved. And it's actually in the little hallway coming from the lobby to the main sanctuary. And you'll find these cards at the Welcome Center that say be a blessing or have a need. So if you have something that you would like to bless someone else with, something that's in good shape that you think could really be a blessing to someone, you can go ahead and fill out this card and bring it to the welcome desk and we'll post it on the board. And if somebody sees that, they like it, they think, hey, this would be great for what I need, they can bring that to us and we can get you guys together to exchange that item. Or if there's something that you're really in need of, go ahead and write it on here and someone might just have it around. We just want to give you an opportunity to be the church with your church family and work together to bless each other. So if you have questions, come see me at the Welcome Center and we'll get you hooked up with one of these cards.
I only believe we know that prayer changes things. And that is why we start each month with First Saturday Prayer. This 1 hour gathering is a time to seek God, worship together, hear an encouraging word, and have both personal and corporate prayer. During the service, you can also go up and pick up a prayer card from the altar and join us in praying over the needs of our church family. So set your reminders and bring a friend and join us for our first Saturday prayer.
Join us for Healing Night on September 21st at 6 p.m. This is going to be a powerful evening of faith, prayer, and restoration. And we are believing that God is going to move in a powerful way. Whether you're standing in the gap for someone or believing for a miracle yourself, we believe that this night is for you. So come expectant, come ready, and come believing.
So I get to share with you a volunteer highlight. And I'd like to highlight the dream teamer, Angel Dyer. And she played a very vital part in our small group as a leader. And she took us on a journey about winning the war in our minds. And together she brought us all to the same playing field and taught us what the word said and what the Lord said about our minds. And because of her, we're still hearing about testimonies today of people that have sensed true freedom. Thank you, Angel. You're awesome.
It's that time of year again. Operation Christmas Child is here, and this is your chance to be a part of something powerful. We are asking that each family that is able to fill one box with toys, hygiene supplies, and school supplies. These are not just gifts, these are a doorway for children all around the world to hear about the love of Jesus, many hearing it for the very first time. Each box that you pack makes a difference. Shoeboxes are available in the lobby for just $1, and you can bring your already packed box to the lobby anytime between now and November 9th. And if you're not up to filling a box, you can donate and we will use your donation to buy supplies for our church-wide packing party. Let's spread the gospel one box at a time. And don't forget about our packing party on November 9th.
And as always, for more information or if you have any questions, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds for the message today.
I only believe it's good to be with you this morning. I'm back there. I'm sure Larry's looking at my microphone, seeing these red lines going up because I just can't stop singing. Just one look, everything changes. Not him looking at us, us looking at him. When we look at Jesus, we can't help but see everything restored, everything in its beauty put back into place, all of our imperfections reflected through his perfection. Just one look. My situation, it looks different. Just one look at his written word changes my perspective. Just one look. Come on, church, open your eyes and behold, behold the Lamb of God that's in front of us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Church, we serve a great God. Amen. I would like for you, if you would, look on your seats right beside you. And I'm going to tell you that I've seen some of you skillfully sitting on top of your card so you have none to the left or the right so you don't have to take one. You're like, Pastor Nicole, I don't see one. Well, look underneath. It's there. I'm encouraging you to invite someone to church, and we are giving you the tools in order to do that. Why? Because over 70% of all people say that if I was invited to church by somebody, I would go. 90% of the people that are added to this church that stick are because someone invited them and they had someone to create relationship with. So church, remember, it is important that you invite people to church, because it's not enough that it's just for us, our four, and no more. And I mean that literally for me, us four and no more. But for some of you, it may be 10 and no more, whatever that looks like. It's that we give it to everyone that we can. Amen? All right, so let's get started. Last week, we were honored as a church with Pastor Kylan being able to come with his schedule from over at the Urbana Church and share with us about being in the garden or what his big picture item looked like. But I also thought that it was amazing that Kylan got to share with us from his own heart about the next chapter in his life. And I think that's important. You know, if Pastor Kylan had told me this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have not understood what it meant to go be with the people that you love, because I didn't know the love of a grandchild yet. And I'm telling you, there's something about my kids. I love them dearly, but I love my grandchild extra dearly. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it right there. All you other grandparents know exactly what I'm talking about. So he gave us a big picture of what God is doing and what the kingdom of God is doing here on earth. And that Jesus has come, not that he could just be Jesus, but he came to make things new. He came to right the wrongs that happened in the beginning. We know in the beginning about Adam and Eve. We're going to go there a little bit today. But everything that was lost in the garden through sin and disobedience, he has come to make new in your and I's life. Now, make new here while we live on this earth. But the truth of our full abundance only comes when we reach eternity. So God knew how to give us a goal to get us to the end. By the way, if you're not here on Wednesday nights, we started a hunger and thirsting series. And there's a God-designed hole inside of you. In fact, the Bible tells us that he put eternity into the soul and heart of every man. That longing that you feel, that drawing that's created in your life, that draws you to church, that draws you to think there's something bigger, is put in there by God himself. And ultimately, we as people want to fill that hole with something. And those of us that have found Christ know what it feels like to fill it with him. But those who have not, they don't. They fill it with everything around them in the world. But because we're in the world, it often fights for our attention. And what we fill that God hole with, or that void, matters. And that's why we come to church on Sunday and let God fill that God-shaped hole. It's like the parable of the yeast in the dough. It's a work that's in progress. How many of you ladies and men have made bread? And I say that men because I do know some men cooks in here. Yes, yes, yes. Anyone who doesn't know, Sarah Cat Henry makes an amazing sourdough. You should eat it. It's off the charts. But I'm here to tell you that working with dough takes patience. It doesn't just pop up. in a matter of seconds, even with rapid rise yeast, I'm like, come on, speed up, could you? I put heat bags around it. I put a towel over top of it. I try to open my oven door and let heat in the house. Why? Because without it, you cannot rise the dough. It doesn't get all the way through. You and I are a process. We are in work. We're in the works. And you can't rush it. God, through the Holy Spirit, is always working in our lives and tending to us. That's what we heard last week. He's tending to us. And that's why we're bringing up the garden. Because it's like a garden to God. So we're going to visit a few gardens over the next few weeks. But the first one we're going to visit is the Garden of Eden. And we're going to start, first of all, in John the 15th chapter, because we're going to prove that God likes to garden. I know that's crazy. You know, once Randy asked me, he said, Nicole, what are you going to do when we retire? I said, well, I don't know that I'm ever going to retire, but if I had time, I would plant a garden. He said, you would? I'm like, yeah, I like to garden. He said, what do you like about it? I said, I like to go out and pick all those fruits off the vine. He said, oh, so you don't like gardening, you like harvesting. I said, well, yeah, because I don't want to do all the rest of the stuff. But I have a feeling that in the days of the Garden of Eden, there was no weeds. I would have loved gardening. So maybe when I get to my eternal home, I will garden. I don't know. All right, let's go to John 15, 1 through 8. And I'm going to read it all because there's some things we need to establish as we get into this series and lay some foundational work. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. For those of you that have red letters, these are red. I am the true vine, and my Father, which is God, is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch, this is a takeaway, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, which is Jesus. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, there's a lot of things in there that we need to see, but the main thing is that I want you to identify that God is the gardener, and that his son, Jesus, is the vine in which you and I are gaining our life from. Without you and I being connected to Christ, without us believing in Christ, being a Christian, having a relationship with Christ, not just being an American Christian, love God, love country, love Jesus, I get it. That's not the way that works. A born-again Christian living the life of a disciple, which the word just said, I'm to bear fruit from. So without the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control, all those fruits of the Spirit, you are not seen as a disciple. You get that? It's a big part of it. But the way that we remain in Jesus is by knowing his word. Remember, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Who is that? That is Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. He's the word of God in living flesh to you and I. So the way Jesus lived his life was word to you and I. Remember this. I'm going to tell you a secret. If you can get this right now in this day and age in America, you will be amazed. You'll be a winner. If Jesus wasn't dogmatic about it, neither should you be. But if he was, you should. That'll help go a long way in society today. Gardens are all throughout the Bible, and we're going to visit them, of course, over the next weeks. But in order to know, we're going to start. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. I don't want to get ahead of myself because it's important that we lay who brings the growth. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. It says here, it says, I planted the seed, this is Paul talking, and Apollos watered it. These are just two other people that are speaking God's word. Okay, so it'd be like in this church, it was Pastor Nicole that sowed it. And then on Wednesday night, it was Pastor Tim that sowed the word. Okay, that's all he's saying. There were church people that were arguing over who and what follower they were. Just so you know, well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, how about this? How about we follow Jesus and we go to Only Believe? How about that? That works great. Okay, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We are in a field in which God is building you and I. And throughout our life, there's people that plant seed, truth, and then there's people that come along and confirm what was planted and add water to that seed, and it grows up and turns into something good. But the one who planted the seed did nothing. The one who watered the seed is not the one to give credit to. The only way a seed grows is because God himself created it to grow. Now, this is important because I'm going to prove that you cannot set out to be a better person. Hear me out. You don't just say, oh God, I'm going to do better tomorrow. What you do is you mix faith with the word of God, and the Holy Spirit makes you better. See, I can't do it on my own. But what I can do is continually stay connected and walking with the one whom my life flows from, who the one I communicate with, the one who talks to me, the one who guides me, the one who leads me. And as that happens, before you know it, I am in God's field and I'm being worked over by the Holy Spirit and I'm growing. Not because of something I did, but because of what God did. Now, I'm going to talk something really hard for some of you. It takes effort to walk with God. Adam just didn't get to lay on the ground every single day and go, hey, God, good to see you. You want me to do what? Okay, yep, I'll get to it. Oh, man, that sounds great today, Lord. Adam had to get up. Adam had to work with a purpose and a plan of what God had called him to do. You and I have a purpose about our life. It takes efforts to walk with God. Amen. Not that you grow because of your effort, but because of the effort you put in, the Holy Spirit meets you where you are and he does the work. There's freedom in that. There's freedom. See, some of us want to grow, but we don't want to spend no time in the garden. We don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to get our feet dirty. And we definitely don't want to pull weeds. We don't want to clip back branches. We don't want to make these big old trellises that our life can grow up on. We just want to leave it all a mess out there and do nothing with it and think that when we go out there, we're going to harvest fruit. When really the only thing you're going to be harvesting is a bunch of weeds. Ask me how I know this. This is why Randy said, for real, you want to be a gardener? Because I don't think you do. I'm the one that takes care of those weeds for you. I'm the one who goes out and waters it every single night because you don't want to. But then when you can these beautiful vegetables, you're like, oh my gosh, it feels so amazing. Yeah, you want the growth without the work that comes with it. And I'm not talking about works in your life with Christ. What I'm talking about is effort towards chasing the environment in which seeds grow. There's a price sometimes that has to be paid. In order to grow, you have to be in the garden. You don't grow on a sidewalk. You grow where the earth has been tilled. You grow where there's nutrients for what you need to become what Christ has called you. Let's go to Genesis, the second chapter. Now, this was the Garden of Eden, and what it stands for is very important for you to know. Because the garden was a symbolization of where God's dwelling place was in man. But it was a real place on earth. Do you get that? God came and set here on earth to walk with man. There's a big old debate of where the Garden of Eden is today. But I tell you, it's got four rivers coming out of it. That's what I know. And it's somewhere around there. That's all I know. I was not good at geography. Yeah, that's that word. See? It was a place to walk and talk with God here on this earth. It was a place where man could encounter God and his presence, where he could share his innermost secrets, where he could be himself, where he didn't have to put on a front, where he could be taught, where he could ask any question and not feel stupid asking it. You know, like, you know, Adam had some crazy questions as God brought him the anteater. Like, just think of that. Like, really? Really? Like, what were you thinking here, Lord? And then God got to share it with him. Not just share it, but he said, hey, Adam, come create with me. You name them, I'll make them. Isn't that just like God? To ask you to be a part of something bigger than you are? And to say, you don't have to worry about feeling inadequate. If you say it's a centipede, I say, okay. You say it's a millipede, I say, okay. You say you want to call her, whoa, man. Okay. She can be woman. I'm going to name her Eve. God cares and asks you to do things with him. Because the garden was a place where we did things together. Let's read in Genesis, the second chapter, 7 and 8. Some of you might think, oh, Pastor Nicole, this is so kindergarten. No, it's not, because you need to know where it went wrong in the beginning so you can know how God's fixing it. And the same devil that was in the beginning is the same devil we face now. The same devil we face in America is the same devil we face in Africa when we go. The same devil in the Congo right now that they're facing is the exact same tempter that is right here in your backyard, lying in your mind. He has no new tricks. None. It's all old. It's just, will we listen to the Holy Spirit about the tricks of the enemy? So let's read 7, 8, and 9. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I'd like to just note, this is probably the first life-saving skill ever done. This was mouth-to-mouth, breath-to-breath. This was God giving us a piece of his breath. Whew. Can you believe that? Spirit and human mixed dust. But I'll breathe my life, my existence into it. Thank you, God, for thinking of us. Thank you, God. The man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go down to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but forget what I just said and listen to this one more importantly. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will surely die. Now, what we see is that God creates man out of the dust. You think that's ironic? That we're to live in the garden if we were made from dust? I don't know. I think there's something to that. Adam is born of God. The first thing to note is that Adam was born with an identity. You and I are born with an identity. Whether I like it or not, whether I ask for it or not, I am Nicole Dosick Waters after I got married, and that is my full name. I have no middle name because my mother didn't like her middle name. So I don't have a middle name. I just want you all to know, you should all ask her what her name is. I'm kidding. Don't. I am Pastor Peter and Phyllis Dosick's daughter. And in case that bothers you, God knew exactly what I was going to be. He knew I was going to be Nicole, named after a soap opera. No lie. And you wonder why I liked soap operas when I was younger. Because I was Nicole and I was young and I was restless. Anyway, boom. I know, that's a bad joke. That was a dad joke in a girl body. Anyways, my point is that I didn't ask to be what I was. God chose me to be who I was. He chose my identity for me. He knew I was not going to be a male. He knew I was going to be a female. And he knew that at this time in our life, only believe would need a female. Take it up with him if you have a problem. Just like he knew the gender of every single person here. He never questioned what you would be made. He knew, he chose you. Out of all these choices that could be made, he said, I need him. Now, whether you like that or not, I'm not going to say that there aren't people that struggle and have true identity issues. Eve and Adam had identity issues. And I'm going to prove it to you in scripture. But what I'm telling you is what God gives you, you don't get to disagree with. Because we're not the creator of the universe. We're not the creator. We don't get to choose in a petri dish which one we want to be. What we choose is what God chose because he is the creator of heaven and earth. And he breathed life into our bodies. And the body that we have, we're thankful that we have. And that's what we operate out of. Amen? Amen. Amen. But God's not done because he also puts him in the garden and he gives him dominion and rule. Why? He's got to do something. See, this is God's kid because he gave him life. Whether you like it or not, I gave my children life. They didn't get to choose their parent. Neither did Adam and Eve. It was God, and he chose them and said, you're my children, and here's who you are, here's where I'm going to put you, and here's what I'm going to have you do. God gave them authority and rule over everything because it was connected to their purpose. The purpose of Adam and Eve was to, in the garden, work and keep it. In other words, you're going to cultivate the dirt and you're going to keep it. That word keep means to protect, to guard it. Oh, what am I guarding it from? If everything's perfect, what am I guarding it from? I'll tell you, there was still an enemy that was here. He was present from the beginning. He's the one that chose to go against God, takes a third of the angels with him, and he comes down here. What's he doing? He's saying to all of creation, I don't like the way God did this, and I'm going to take it all back because I'm better than God. Thus, we walk into the two trees. The two choices, one of good, one of bad. The devil comes, and here's what it is. These two trees hold the key to everything in our lives still today. Did you hear me? These two trees hold the key to everything in our lives, even till today. Every man is given a choice. Every man and woman is given a choice multiple times per day. What we will choose. Even when we choose God, we still have the same struggle that Adam and Eve had because there's still an enemy and he's still whispering in our ear, see, because he's a snake. That's what he does. This is what he does. He talks to us constantly. See, there was two things that was that day. One was the tree of life, where it meant we could experience God in all of our eternity. It would lead us into an eternity with God. Or there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil has a great way of saying it. Let me just tell you this. If you don't know this already, every time someone lies to you, the lie is covered in a thin glaze of chocolate over top. You know, like those Buckeyes right now coming around? That's what I think of. It's got this really good goodness. You know, this it looks good. It's like peanut butter, and you're like, oh, that's going to taste so good. Yeah, until you buy into it, and you realize that, man, you wanted the chocolate more than you wanted the peanut butter, and you wish they could thicken up that chocolate. Same thing, a lie covered with a little bit of truth. And so the devil looks at Eve, and he's like, Eve, don't you realize God just doesn't want you to eat of this tree, because then you'll see it all differently. And you're going to see it beautiful. And God doesn't want you to see what he sees. A little bit of truth involved there. Just a little bit. Because the truth was, is that as soon as Eve takes a bite of the apple, oh, she sees now. She sees the truth of what God was trying to protect her from. And how is it that things happen in our life and we believe that God brought it to us? When if we just go back to the beginning, the very thing that God was trying to do was to protect Adam and Eve from all the evil out there. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then how did he do that to you? He didn't, but the enemy did. And what God's going to do is redeem, take it out and try to restore it and make something good come out of it. The truth is what God was saying to them. But the enemy sells her a different picture. See, the devil wants her to question God's word in everything she does. What's any different today? The devil goes around lying, and whoever hear his lie chooses, ready for this? Human autonomy. We're taught in this world that human autonomy is great. All of our children should be living this life autonomous of their parents. Yes, they should. But they should also be living a life dependent upon Jesus Christ. The problem is we make the transfer. See, we do really good when we're going through graduation. We're like, I gotta pass this off to you, and you gotta catch it. But when we do, they run, and they don't run towards God. They run of their own free will. When we were meant to not do our own free will, we were meant to work according to God's will, his purpose, his plan for our life. And believe it or not, every single one of us has one. It's will you honor the will of God in your life, and will you walk it out? One of the biggest lies of the devil is to tell you that you can do it. You'll be fine. You don't need help. You'll do great. Do it on your own. This is why we pray first. Not last, not in the middle, not when we've done all we can do and there's nothing else to do. We pray first because we bring God into our immediate situation. They knew that the minute they ate of the tree, they would surely die. Immediately, condemnation came in. Their identity of who they were was now gone. They were fearful. Where they lived was no longer a safe place for them to live. In fact, the Bible says he kicked them out, put them out. Now, I'm not saying that's for parents and their children to always do, but there might be a time that you need to kick them out. Oh, geez, man, dry crowd this morning. Come on, church. We all have this human desire to do things on our own and to believe the lie that the devil has given us. Let's go on down to the third chapter. Because I want to read one line to you. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but I want to read this one line for you. It said in the 6th, 3, 6, Look what it says. It says, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they were naked. Naked. They were revealed in who they were. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. And we're going to read 15 through 17. And I'm going to read this one in the NLT because I think it said it so well. It said, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. This is why sometimes you'll hear that Adam, there was Adam, and then Jesus Christ was the last Adam. That's what you'll hear in theology. It says, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For this sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who will receive to live in triumph over sin and death through this one man named Jesus. This is what Pastor Kylan was talking about last week. This is the true restoration of Christ. This is the true restoration. He didn't just come to die and give his life so that he could say he did. He came to give his life that you could have the life he laid down and give yourself an abundance of life within you. He's restored the identity that the devil tried to take. This is why you're no longer lost. This is why you're not broken. This is why you're not full of sin and you are forgiven. This is why you're not alone. This is why you're not addicted. This is why you're not insecure. This is why you're not fearful, because you've been given a new identity. And you now possess the identity of Christ, because he is the vine in which you and I are connected to. I'm not making this up. This is the word. Remember, if you remain in me and I remain in you, my word remains in you, you will have new life and more abundantly. The Bible tells us that if you know the truth shall set you free. If you don't sit in the garden, if you don't allow God to work within his field where you as a Christian choose to come and sit and grow and be nurtured and be corrected and be trimmed up and be propped up, be held up. Even some branches have to be cut off. Why? Because they're not bringing fruit. So God knows that I need to trim that up in their lives and fix some things and give them support over here, because they're not going to make it if I don't. But as soon as we get fixed up enough that we can head out of the garden, we do. And God's like, but if you would just sit in the garden and be tended to, if you would just create this pattern. How many of you know that if you don't go daily to a garden, them weeds will get a hold of you. You know, and the rain is so amazing because the seeds need rain. Oh, but every time it rains, I'm like, oh, and there's the weeds. Because the weeds get the rain too. And as believers, we got to go into this place where God's going, I'm getting this stuff out, but I need you to sit with me long enough in the garden that I can deal with some of this stuff. And you got to stop choosing your autonomy. You got to stop choosing your independence, because you're not independent from me. You were created to be dependent and to walk with me. God shows up at the garden after they're naked and they're hiding. And God's like, Adam, where are you? Adam ain't telling him. He don't want him to see. And what happens? Adam comes out and he said, why are you hiding? He's like, I'm naked. Who told you that? Who told you you're not enough? Who told you that you don't have what it takes to walk this life of Christianity? Who told you that what happened to you when you were young is unforgivable? Who told you that what you did in your last relationship cannot be forgiven? Who told you that? Who told you you messed up so big this time there's no coming back? I'll tell you who. The liar. The liar, the one who from the beginning of time, if he opens his mouth, he is lying to you. The liar. When you read this word, when you know the truth, when you know it, not hear it on Sunday, when you know it, when it's sitting in your heart, when it's written in your heart and you cannot undo it. You can't forget it. You don't have to remember to write it on a piece of paper to put it in front of your face. When it's in your heart and you know the truth, you will be set free. Amen. And all things will be restored. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have to stop today, but we're going to come back to it next week and we're going to pick up on the fruits of the Spirit. But church, this is what started this entire series. Was Lloyd Bustard came and he gave me one phrase. He said, you're to stay in the garden. Stay in the garden. That's what he said to me. And I wrote this down. Stay in the garden where we go back to our first love. Where he talked with you. Where he loves to spend time with you. Where he counseled with you, where he corrected you, where he was loved by you, where he was depended on by you. Take us back, God, to the garden. Tend to us, O God, care for us. Cut off the things in our life that are dead, that might not be of any use to you. Cut off the things, the friendships that are ungodly, that are dragging me away, that I might stay connected to you. Maybe you're here today. You know, you're faced with a choice just like Adam and Eve. We know the choice they made, and of course it changed all of eternity in the way it was mapped. But Jesus came and he also had a choice. Jesus came to do the will of his Father, and he had a choice that he could have walked away from Calvary and never went to that cross and never restored, never redeemed, never saved, never brought back what was broke to the starting place that we could begin again and be in right relationship with God. But because of him, we are restored, but we have a choice. The tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And you want to do it on your own. Church, I'm posing this choice to you today because I wouldn't be in love with God if I didn't. If I didn't do this, you should be questioning if your pastor loves Jesus. I believe in him so much that every chance I get, I want you to know that you can believe in him too. If you're here in this house today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I've never been given this choice. Or I've been given this choice and I've turned it down time and time again, but today I'm choosing Jesus. Today I'm choosing the tree of life. I want this life and I want it more abundant. I'm done doing it my way. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is your moment. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I need to know you're there. And I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you today. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Say, Pastor Nicole, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ today. And I want to put myself in this garden that you talk about. I want to be forgiven, and I want all of my wrongs righted. And I want to walk in relationship with God again. So anybody here that would say, that's me. I'm bold enough to say, that's me. Okay. To the rest of you, I say this. You can look at me now. I say this to the rest of you. Church, it's not a secret of what's happened this week, this month, and what's happening in our world and what's going around. And I wouldn't be the pastor if I didn't address the unrest of our nation. But here's what I want to tell you. We are told in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, that we are to fight like soldiers. That there's an armor that you and I are to put on. And the one armor that I am reminded of out of all of it, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird about our waist with truth, but our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means you and I are to be sure-footed as Christian soldiers, sure-footed in knowing the gospel and what God came to do in our lives and for everyone else. He's telling us to be ready to share in a moment's notice the message of the good news and the peace that he offers. The peace that he offers. The peace from what? Peace from this fallen world. Peace from this evil behavior. Who sits on a train to just get to her boyfriend's house and dies? Who sits to voice an opinion and gets shot? Who shows up at school just to learn and never comes home? The devil has an evil agenda. We don't repay evil with evil. But what we do is we will not back down. 2 Timothy 1:7 says it best. For God has not given you and I a spirit of fear, timidity, meaning that you don't fear danger when you think there's something that can be shared one another. I don't stop sharing the gospel because of what man can do to me. I don't stop telling people about the peace of the gospel and the good news that Jesus came to die for all of us. And I just want to offer you the choice. Do you want to live for Christ or do you not? It's not your job to make them take it. It's your job to share it. And no amount of what's happening in America today should make you fearful to share the gospel. Church, in the end times, the Bible says that they will become lovers of themselves. And that the times will wax worse and worse. Don't be surprised when your world falls apart. Don't be surprised that America is not on point. The thing that changes America is you preaching Jesus, and Jesus changes the world. Amen? Don't be alarmed. Be at peace in your heart and know that you are to not fear, but be strong and courageous in the things of this life. Amen? Stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something with us this week. We have a miracle service on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I'm going to ask two things of you. One, find sick people and bring them. How about that? I'm just saying, you need sick people so you can have a miracle service and you can demonstrate the work of God. But I'm also going to ask that those of you who would be willing, that you would fast 3 days with us this week. Now that may look different to multiple people. It could be that you're fasting all food and everything but water. That's fine. Please don't fast water. Please don't fast water. Your body needs hydration. You need to be able to think and move. We don't need kidney failure in 3 days. Some of you may be on medication. You may not be able to fast all food. Fast what it takes to do what you can do. Some may fast till 3. Some may fast breakfast. Some may fast, well, we'll just stick with food. I'm asking you to fast with us this week. Sometime. Ours will probably be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I think that's what we've normally chose. Randy doesn't get home until Wednesday evening from traveling, so we might make it a little later in the week, I'm not sure. But we're going to fast together, and we're going to join our faith. And then next Sunday, we're going to come together. And after the service, just like we did last time, if you can, I'm asking you to clear your schedules, because we're going to pray for a half hour after service. And we're going to fill this sanctuary with prayer. Why? Because we pray first. And we're going to pray for the people that are coming, and we're going to release faith in this atmosphere, believing God for signs and wonders to come and that people would be healed and ministered to. Can you do that with me? Okay. Father, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus. And God, I just thank you for the message that you've gave us and put in the hearts of us today, God. But I ask, Lord, that you would begin to reveal to us where we've removed ourselves from your garden. God, I don't want to be autonomous. I don't want my own way of thinking. God, I only want to do your will. God, I want to know what it feels like to walk with you more, to hear you and be led by you every minute of every day. Not just when I want, but God, I'm telling you that I want every minute of every day. Create in us, God, a heart that desires and longs for you, that would come back to that place, that would come back to worship, that would come back to prayer, that would come back to the things of this life that teach us to sit in your presence. A place where we can meet, a place where we can talk, a place where I can express my questions and my concerns. And God, that you could correct me. God, please correct me. Please correct me, God. We ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, church, go and be blessed this morning. Don't forget, if you have a prayer request, if you have a prayer need, we are here to pray with you. Sickness in your body, just come on down. The prayer team's waiting.